Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And the multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle and at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. In this simple text, Jesus lays down what I call the conditions of true kinship. Kinship is not just a matter of flesh and blood relationships. It can go much farther than that. And it can happen that a person can have a closer relationship, be nearer to someone not related to him by birth than to his nearest of kin. Jesus knew what it was to have those who were nearest to him in the flesh, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, to misunderstand him. In fact, to think him mad, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago. He knew it was possible that if you started to follow him, that your foes would be those of your own household. People who just could not understand your course of action. Many has been the person who's had to engage in one of life's hardest battles, not against hate, but against love. They've heard the call of God to service, and those who were nearest and dearest to them tried to dissuade them from the task to which God had called them. I have an old minister friend that when he was about ready to go to college, maybe in college, he felt the call of God upon his life to preach the gospel. His father, his whole family were very active in the life of the church. His family was one of the leaders in the conference at the time. But when he told his father that God had called him to the ministry, he was going to study for the ministry, his father said, "If you go in that direction, you'll go without my support. If you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, I'll pay your way through college. But if you're going to waste your life in the ministry, I'll have nothing to do with it." And so he went his own way and gave his life to God in the way that God had called him. But his battle was not against the people that didn't like him. It was against the people that supposedly loved him the most. Our kinship can go far beyond ties of blood. And I want to look tonight at some of the conditions of true kinship. True kinship lies in a common experience, especially when it's an experience where two people have really come through things together. When you really go through things together, you come close to people. Someone has said that people really become friends when they're able to say, "Do you remember? Do you remember?" And then go on to talk about the things they once experienced together. The depth of friendship, of course, would depend on the depth of the experience. Someone walking down the street one day met an old lady, and they knew that an acquaintance of hers had just died. And the person said, "You will be sorry that Miss So-and-so is dead." "Yes," she said, "but without showing any great grief." He said, "I saw you just last week laughing and talking with each other. You must have been great friends." "Yes," she said, "I was friendly with her. I used to laugh with her, but to be real friends, folks have got to weep together." This is really very true. When we live together and go through things together at a deep level, we become brothers and sisters, kin. Now, all of us who are Christians have had the common experience of becoming forgiven sinners. "Come, you sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore." We've come, we've made that trip, and we know what it is to be weighted down with the burdens of guilt and sin, and then to find God's wonderful forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We have this common bond. I've been so many places in life, and it's really amazing wherever I have been, in this country, in foreign countries, in churches all across North Alabama in particular, and other churches as well. In every place I've ever been, I have found people that I felt an immediate kinship to because of our common experience of knowing Jesus Christ. There's an immediate bond. But when I stayed with these people and got to know them and share joys and sorrows with them, I came to feel closer to some of them than to many of my own family. True kinship lies in the common experience, especially if that experience relates about our faith in Jesus Christ. True kinship also lies in a common interest. We all know what it is to see an old friend, somebody we knew years ago. We talk about days long past. We ask about present jobs, the family, and so forth. And then we find that we have nothing more to talk about, for we no longer have any common interest. Maybe you experienced this idea. I went about 10 years ago, to my 50th high school class reunion. I saw most of the people there that were in my graduating class from high school. Most of them I had not seen in 50 years. We talked together, we laughed together, we chatted together, and we went our separate ways, and I haven't seen them since. We're not friends. We have no common interests, no common dreams, no common goals. For most of us, perhaps, not a common faith. And this can happen not only among people that we became acquaintances with, but it can happen within the family, with brothers and sisters, with cousins. I have multitudes of cousins. I have not a single one on my mother's side of the family that I would recognize or know if they came here tonight. I have multitudes of cousins that I used to play with and rejoiced with. And most of them I haven't seen. None of them have I seen in the last 7 years. And most of them, much longer period of time than that. We have nothing in common other than a blood relationship. But we that are Christian have a common interest, a common bond in Christ and His church. We can talk for hours about the blessings of God and the things that God has done for us in the new life and the love we find in Him. Our common interest is in Jesus, and we're at one in Him. Winnedale, I think, sometimes has become a little bit perturbed and sometimes a little bit aggravated and sometimes a little bit jealous if another Methodist preacher comes around to visit. Pretty soon, we're just together and she's just there. We're sharing that which we have, and that which we experienced, and that which we've known across the years, and we never run out of things to say. True kinship also lies in a common obedience. Many of us have been part of a team or a group. We know what it is to submit to rules and regulations and to obey an officer, a coach, or someone else. The person who's in charge, whatever the team or group might be. We know how well things can go when we obey the leader and the rules and the regulations of our group. When we obey the rules of the game, whatever. We also know how confused and hectic things can be. How fragmented when some decide not to obey. I guess the reason I remember it so well because I goofed up so bad. One thing I have never been is an athlete. I tried a little bit my last 2 years in high school. I was a tall, skinny, awkward boy in high school. My senior year in high school, I was a third team center. The third team center didn't play much. I warmed the bench. But in one game, we were pretty well running away with things, and toward the end of the game, the coach let me go in. And I was so excited. In those days, the center didn't just hand the ball back to the quarterback. He snapped it back to whoever usually was going to run with the ball or take the ball and pass it. And I remember it well. You know, we ran out of the old Notre Dame box, which most of you have never heard of, where the player shifted in the backfield before the ball was snapped. We were running play call something 30, I forget what. I was supposed to snap the ball to the fullback that was standing off over here. That's the way the play was designed. He was to run with it. Everybody was to block for him. I snapped the ball straight back to the halfback. He didn't know what to do with it. It was totally unexpected. Everybody was blocking over here, and he was standing here with the ball, and he almost killed me after the game. You know, because he almost got killed in the game. When we step outside of obedience to the rules and regulations for the plan of life, we mess up life. But in Christ, we have one to whom we have a common obedience. He is Lord of all and all who, and one who said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." In our text tonight, he said, "Whosoever shall do the will of God." The one who obeys God, the one who lives life as God planned it, the same as my brother, and my sister, and my mother. We've seen in the recent weeks the original 12 disciples, how very mixed the group was. They would normally, we said, have hated one another, and this was surely true of Matthew and Simon. Matthew, remember, sold out to the Romans, Simon the Zealot, ready to kill any Roman that he could. Yet, they were one because of their common love for and obedience to Jesus. William Barclay said, "Men can become friends of each other when they share a common master. Men can only love each other when they all love Jesus Christ." When we have a common obedience to our living Lord. Finally, true kinship lies in a common goal. True kinship lies in a common experience, a common interest, a common obedience, and a common goal. When people have a common goal, they can work together. They can win a game. They can build a house. They can get an education. Whatever. If the goal is agreed upon, then sacrifices can be gladly made and the price paid to reach the goal. In Christ, we have a goal bigger than anything and everything on earth. We are all seeking to know Christ better, and thus we study and worship and share together. We are also seeking to bring others to know Him as Savior and Lord. Thus we have a common goal with all Christians. All Christians. I never have considered myself in competition with any other denomination. We all have a common goal. Regardless of denomination or race or rank or station, we have a common goal and our desire to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For all of these reasons, true kinship is not just a matter of flesh and blood. While blood is a tie that nothing can break, it's also true that sometimes a person's nearest and dearest friends and family, or the people who understand him and love him, though they're not blood related. Most of you, for whatever reason, refer to me as Brother Jeff. I'm old enough to remember where in the country church everybody call others brothers and sisters. The ministers call my dearly brother Jeff. They call my mother, Sister Sarah. They called everybody brother and sister. For there was a kinship, a oneness in the family of God that make us one in Christ. Because we have a common experience in Christ, a common interest in Christ, a common obedience to Christ, and a common goal to bring others to Him. There is for all of us the fellowship of Jesus and the friendship of those who love the Lord. I have found it true. I have found it true. All over this part of the world, but also in the Far East and in England and wherever I've been, we're truly one in the Spirit and we're one in the Lord. And people know that we're Christian by our love. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the family of God and that we can be one in the Spirit and one in the Lord. Help us bound together in your love, to unite in our efforts to share the glorious good news of the gospel with those who so desperately need to hear. And we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior.